Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. I think we can start for about 45 minutes tonight to continue our talk on prayer. Before you all got on, I was talking to some of the brothers that I sincerely hope that Northern California saints and churches would continue to take this matter of prayer or intercession seriously, meaning that over a period of time, let's say over a period of 6 months to a year, there would be visible and measurable improvement and progress in your prayer life. And in the church's corporate prayer meetings and everything in between, small group, twos and threes, and so on. To the point that we can say that we have broken through. We have broken through. Don't think that is such a tall order or the bar is so high that we will never reach that. Please do not say that. You better pray, declare, tell that mountain to be removed and be cast into the sea. Brothers and sisters, exercise your faith. We can be today's overcoming intercessors. Actually, a true intercessor is by definition an overcomer. In the case of these men of old, Moses, Abraham, you know, the patriarch, and all the way down to Samuel, and of course, Daniel, and so on, and the Lord himself, right, and the apostles. They were all praying men of prayer, people of prayer, and they have succeeded in building up their prayer life in a long-term, solid way. And so they live a vital, overcoming life automatically. These two things are directly related. There is no overcomer who is not a praying person, because it's simply impossible. There's no such thing. And if you are a true praying person, you're automatically an overcomer. And so this means we need to devote or separate a lot of time just to build this up, this kind of a prayer life up, so that we can benefit from it for the rest of our lives. My concern is, brothers, we still take prayer as something of an event, something that is, you know, you do when you have a need, or even something that you do when you have some kind of so-called burden, or as some kind of a movement. I hope we would all come out of those things. I would not say they are wrong. They are better than nothing, than no prayer at all. But if we only pray in that kind of a way, we have not arrived. We have not yet built up. And I'm sorry to say this word is not just for the so-called regular saints. Very much this word is for the leading brothers. The elders may not have such a prayer life. They may be capable and busy in doing many things in the church, but they themselves do not have such a prayer life. It was never built up. I would say even co-workers, workers of the Lord, they have not built this up. So they are just there with a good heart. They love the Lord. They are busy. They are even diligent. But they are not effective. They're not effective. Their work is not effective. Their service is not effective. They are not impactful, if I can use the present-day off-use term. Not impactful. They don't make much difference. Their work, their service doesn't make much difference, because there is no prayer. They are not a praying person. And so they are not constantly in that vital state, in that very spiritual condition. From them, there's no outflow of life and of the spirit, and there's no sign of the Lord's authority. No, they're just some common, busy, diligent, faithful, working people with not much impact. And you extend this to the church collectively. So we have churches that can be around forever, for years, but that church has no impact in the community. It doesn't grow. The gospel is not prevailing. The shepherding is not constant and robust. The church is weak. In fact, it is commonly in a defeated position, and it's not a shining golden lampstand. In name, it is a local church. It's on the right ground. No problem with that. But I'm talking about the condition. Where is the light? Where is the shining? Where is the testimony? Where is the city set on a hill? Where is the light on top of a bushel? There's none. There's no testimony of that church. And brothers, we have been quite much in that condition for decades in this country. It's time to have a change. Now, here in Northern California, let's make a resolution. You know, the people of Reuben have great searchings of heart, and they make great resolutions. What's wrong with making a resolution? You say, well, New Year's revolution never worked. Well, it depends. It depends, right? We need to make resolution as Reuben before God. If there's no resolution make, brothers, nothing will happen to your life. You have to make a resolution. You say, Lord, I'm going to change. I want to make a change, and I will make a change. I will use my will. That's what resolution is about. It's using your will to make a decision. And you don't do something about that decision. That's a resolution. We have become so weak and so frail and so timid that we don't even dare make a resolution. No wonder our life does not change. You know, I'm thinking that after 1 year or 6 months or 9 months of pandemic, we should all emerge from that pandemic a muscle man, spiritually speaking. We all go into the pandemic a bunch of weaklings, but after 6 months, 9 months, 12 months of daily exercise, utilizing this pandemic as an opportunity, redeeming the time to exercise our spirit, especially to build up our prayer, we will come out on the other side, muscle man, spiritually speaking. But I'm so concerned that many of us will emerge the same. We came in the same, we come out the same. That means the pandemic didn't work on us. We wasted the time. Now, you say, Minoru-chan, how about you? Well, I don't know. Only the Lord knows. But at least I will tell you that is daily in my heart. I'm going to make a difference. When I emerge from this, I'm going to have more muscles, more built up, a stronger prayer life, individually and personally and together with the saints. The pandemic would not make me weaker, would not cause me to become regressive as a Christian. Rather, I'm going to take the challenge and use these difficult, challenging times and turn it around. Nelson Mandela, do you know Nelson Mandela? The one who fought apartheid and become a statesman in South Africa. You know how long he was in the prison? over 20 years, 21 or 27 years, the prime of his life, he was locked up doing menial things in some kind of labor camp. You would say, my goodness, after 21 or 20 some years, this guy is going to all gray hair and next to nothing. But you know what? That didn't happen. That 20 some years sharpened him, built him up. And after those years, he was released and he was ready to do what he was called to do, that is to lead his nation of South Africa, to cancel that system, that evil system. Brothers, it depends. Depends. You know, this pandemic is a kind of house arrest. Almost you feel that way, involuntarily. It's house arrest. Well, will this house arrest defeat you and make you nothing and cancel you? You know, today they talk about the cancel culture. You got canceled. Or this house arrest make you stronger, make you more durable, prepare you even these times. It says, tribulation works endurance, and endurance hope. Well, everyone has tribulation, and we're going through a kind of tribulation. But how is this tribulation working out? It varies for each one of us. And you say, how do we determine that? Well, you say, is it God's mercy? Yes. Is it the Lord's grace? Yes. But I tell you, the main thing is your resolve. Your resolve, your resolution. What do you want to get out of this time? Brothers, the fate, our own, we hold in our hands our own fate. On the one hand, we depend on the Lord's mercy and his sovereignty, no doubt about that. But on the other hand, we cannot be a bunch of passive people. We have to rise up and cooperate with the sovereign Lord and the merciful Lord by our resolution and by our exercise on a daily basis. I hope, I really hope, whenever in California the lockdown is over, I don't know when the vaccine will be done, I have no idea, but when that happens, the saints will come out of their houses and return back to the church life, a new church, a brand new church, a different church, living, powerful. Not only did we not miss a beat, we have actually increased our cadence. My brothers and sisters, is that possible? I would like to tell you, of course it is possible. Of course it is possible. It depends on you and I. There's some famous research organization, they did a survey recently and found all across Christianity, because of the pandemic, average they lost one quarter of their congregation. Whether they don't use Zoom or they have Zoom fatigue, I don't know. All across the board, they lost one out of four of their members in Christianity, in the so-called churches and denominations. Brothers, what about us in the recovery? Should we just be the same and say, well, that's a pandemic, of course we'll lose people. Brothers, I cannot take that. I cannot take that. I feel we need to not only not lose people, but gain people. And I don't even mean just quantitatively, but qualitatively. We would all become much stronger. We would all have been tested somewhat. We will all become more approved by the Lord. Our service will become stronger. Our living will become stronger. Our church life will become more robust. That should happen. That should happen. So this is a word to the co-workers. This is a word to the leading brothers. This is a word to each and every one of you, and to myself too. Now, one area that is important in all of this, that is strategic, that is pivotal, is none other than prayer. By now, with all of our talks and in these days, brothers, we should have a much broader, fuller, more comprehensive view about prayer. It's not the kind of prayer that most Christians talk about. Some kind of common prayer, religious prayer. Prayer to meet some current need. Prayer even merely for our own spiritual pursuit. But no, the prayer that is according to God, the prayer that matches the heavenly praying Christ in his heavenly ministry, the prayer that executes Christ's administration of his economy, the prayer that what bring God's will and kingdom to the earth, that kind of prayer. Well, brothers, if you have not started, how about start tonight? How about start tomorrow? California, the numbers is getting worse. We're going to be in this lockdown for a while. It's bad. I'm not hoping these kind of days will be lengthened, but I am hoping that as long as we're in these days would be redeemed and not wasted. There's no time, brothers. The night is thick, is dark. The day is near. Let us work. Let us work before the day dawns, the day comes. Now, tonight, with the remaining time, I just want to say something about today's prayer burden, day 44 in beseeching.org. And I still ask those who have not signed up, just sign up. This will render you immeasurable help on a daily basis. It's helping me, I can tell you. Today's prayer, it says, pray that the church would execute the prayer of authority. That is actually the line of this week. The prayer of authority, which means the prayer of binding and loosing. The prayer of commands and declaration, rather than the begging prayers or pleading prayers. To rule over the demons and everything that belongs to Satan, and to subdue all the activities of the evil spirits. It's very interesting. The demons are brought up. The evil spirits are brought up. And of course, Satan is brought up here. And particularly, it talks about the activities of these evil forces, these force of darkness. All right? Even all their many secret activities. Be mindful, brothers and sisters. A lot of these activities are secret, are unseen, are actually happening under your nose, but you don't realize it unless you're alert, unless you're watchful. These secret activities that deceive and fool man, causing misunderstanding and stirring up storms. I'd like to tell you, brothers and sisters, we are in a warfare. And particularly in these days, all that is happening in the U.S. outwardly is a sign of what is happening behind the scene, invisibly. It's chaos. And the devil himself is sowing chaos in the spiritual realm, not just in the streets, but in us, in the church life, in the church of God. I would tell you, if you have spiritual eyes, you put on your so-called spiritual vision goggles, so you can see like night goggles, you can make out things in the dark, you will just see evil spirits flying around, demons running around, doing their thing. You say, what are they doing? They're doing all kinds of things intended ultimately to resist God, to destroy God's children, God's people, to render them useless, to paralyze them, to weaken them, to kill them, their function. The enemy, according to John 10, the thief comes to do two things. Number one, steal, to usurp, to steal people, to make you a prisoner of war. Number two, and to destroy. Satan's work is none other than stealing man and destroying man, rendering man useless to God for God's purpose. In one statement, that's it. That's what the enemy is doing, because God needs man. And today that man is the church of God, the one new man, the spiritual warrior, to stand with God rather than against God, to fight against the enemy. The Lord say, I come. He was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. That's why the Lord came the first time, and he will come again the second time, purposefully, also to destroy Satan and his works. Now today it depends on the church. The church is right in the middle. Who will the church side with? Who will the church stand with will determine who wins the battle. The church's job today is to side with God, is to stand with Christ. But this church was defeated. Rather than doing this, this church has been destroyed, stolen by Satan, and even used by Satan as one of his instruments to carry out his will. Religion, even the Christian religion, to resist God. And what about the Lord's recovery, brothers and sisters? The Lord's recovery is to be recovered from that fall, that failing, that defeated condition of the church of God. We won't do that. Rather, we would be the real church to stand with God. And when we stand with God, and we stand with Christ, suddenly the devil, all the evil spirits that are the fallen angels, and all the demons, you have to study Genesis to find out where these demons come from. They are the disembodied spirits from a pre-Adamic creatures that reside in the deep of the sea. They are bodiless. So the spirits and also the demons are always looking for human beings to inhabit. They're disembodied. They're looking for places, human beings to occupy them, possess them. Hence you have the word demon possession. The evil spirits the same. You know, there's the Lord talked about this parable about this man who had one demon, and that demon was cast out, and this man swept and cleaned up himself, but he failed to put in some replacement to occupy himself. And so that one demon invited seven of his friends. Now eight demons came and took over this man. Like Mary the Magdalene, you know, there was the Mary who had seven demons in her that was cast out. This man has 8 demons, the original plus 7 of his buddies. Brothers and sisters, you say you're going to talk to us about prayer. Exactly, exactly. I want all of us to be very cognizant, even though we don't see it outwardly. In the spiritual realm, a warfare, a fierce warfare is going on, particularly with us in the Lord's recovery, because of our stand, because of our commission, because of our burden. But if we don't feel that way, we just live a kind of a befuddled, dull, careless life to think everything is fine, I'm good, when all these kind of things are swirling around. You know, when the Lord was on the cross, you don't see it, but who knows how many evil spirits and demons are trying to attack him, and the Lord has to strip them all off, according to Colossians. Am I right? Strip off all these principalities. I don't know, I cannot imagine the swarm of fallen spirits and demons joined together to attack the Lord. He stripped them off because he was the Lord. Eventually, he even destroyed Satan, the one who has the power of death. And he wants his church, his body on the earth, to be the same as he. And that's why the church is one with Christ. This is the most important thing. Through the death and the resurrection, this church, his people, his container, his vessel, is now one with him organically, so that whatever Christ goes through, whatever Christ attain and obtain, will be the church's. So this church, according to Ephesians 2, is made alive in Christ. And then what? Resurrected in Christ, risen with Christ. And number 3, seated with Christ in the heavenlies, meaning ascended with Christ. Today, brothers and sisters, we, the church of God, are one with the head. One with thee, you know that song, one with thee. One with thee in crucifixion, one with thee in resurrection, one with thee in ascension, and one with thee in enthronement. We are one with, do you know, brothers and sisters, today our real position is we are one with this exalted, glorified, victorious head, Christ. And it is in this position that we battle, that we fight, that we pray. If you see this, brothers, this will revolutionize your Christian life and your church life. You won't be just passive. You won't just be kind of timid. You won't just be dumb. You will be very, very energized. You'll be very, very authorized. You'll be very, very vitalized. Conditionally and positionally. To pray, to execute the prayers of Christ, to bring about the fulfillment of his purpose. Now, I want to say something about the enemy's work today in this warfare. This is related to prayer. And you better go back home tonight and read, or even before you pray tonight, you can all read today's portion. That would be very, very helpful. He said, every spiritual man knows, the church is able to survive on earth because it has the authority to rule over every satanic thing. We have that authority, brothers. We do. The church has it, but we don't know how to use it, or we don't use it. Every spiritual man knows that he can deal with the evil spirit with his prayer. Now, Brother Lee's getting specific. Deal with the evil spirits. Brothers, we can deal with the evil spirits, and we are here to deal with the evil spirits. Not just Satan, but his hosts, the principalities and powers in the air, to rule over every satanic thing. We're here to rule. Every prayer meeting, brothers and sisters, is a time to rule if you have the view. We can cast out demons in the name of the Lord. We can cast out demons. We are here to cast out demons. When we can restrain the secret activities of the evil spirits, these evil spirits, unseen, invisible, are doing all kinds of evil things, evil activities. Satan is very crafty. Not only will he possess man's body with evil spirits and also the demons, you know, these demons possesses a human body, and this human become demon-possessed, even his body. Of course, his mind, his spirit would be dormant, and his mind will be taken over, but even his body will be taken over by these evil beings. Satan is very crafty. He will engage in many secret activities. Sometimes he works in man's mind and injects many undesirable thoughts, such as suspicion, fear, disbelief, discouragement, or unfounded and distorted ideas into man's mind. Through these, he deceives and fools man. Sometimes he steals man's word, turning it into a different kind of thought and in injecting it into another person's mind. You know, you hear someone say something, then the enemy comes and twists it and injects it into your head, your mind. That is entirely wrong, entirely upside down. In this way, he achieves his goal, causing misunderstanding, this is among believers, and stirring up storms. Hence, we have to subdue all the activities of the evil spirits by means of prayer. Brothers and sisters, tonight I want to tell you the importance of prayer from this angle. Through the lens of warfare with evil spirits and demon activities. Please don't be afraid, all right? I'm not going to get into demon possession and all this kind of stuff. But make no mistakes, these things are real, even in our modern society. But more seriously, is not that just that kind of demon possession. You know, in places where there's idolatry, the demons are active. That's why in places like heathen places where they worship idols, there's always a lots of demon possessions. But don't think we don't have idols in the modern society like the U.S. Plenty of idols of a different kind. So the demons are also at work. But more seriously, it's the evil spirits. What do the evil spirits do? These evil spirits do their work to come and what? Come and infiltrate our mind, our mentality. You know, in Ephesians 6, it says one of the last things is put on the helmet of salvation and receive the sword of the Spirit. So you have here the last two things mentioned in this full armor. One is for the covering of the head, the mind. The other is something of the spirit to wield as an offensive weapon. And these two things work together. brothers and sisters, today, I want to all of us to be very, very alert, very, very watchful to what? To guard our mind. The mind is where the evil spirits will shoot darts, fiery darts. He will lob all kinds of fiery darts into our mind. And what are these things? These are the things such as what Brother Lee listed here. I would add some. Anxiety. How about that? Big thing, anxiety that consumes us all day long. Suspicion. You just get suspicious about everything. And sometimes suspicious about a brother. About things that you have no thought about a moment ago. Now you read something, heard something, or from the middle of nowhere, you have some suspicion. Where did that come from? Fear. You just arrested by fear inexplicably. There's nothing going on. Suddenly you're gripped by fear unreasonably. Discouragement. Discouragement. I seen some saints, they got into a kind of a funk. Is that the word? Funk of discouragement. And couldn't climb out of it. Couldn't get out of it. They get up in the morning discouraged. They go to the bed discouraged. And even unfounded and distorted ideas. And I use the word imaginations. All manners of strange imagination would come up in your mind. There's no reason for it to be there. It just comes. Brothers, when these things are happening, you know the source is not even you. The source is the evil spirits. Taking advantage of certain moments of letting down your guard. When you are not garrisoned and guarded, when you are not watchful, you're sleepy. These things come in. Back 30 years ago, when we have that last big storm, I seen it with my eyes, how many normal, proper, good brothers and sisters got injected with these things. And almost overnight, they flip and become a different person. They believe things that are not the truth. They become obsessed with certain things. Obsessed. I don't use the word possess. That is for demons. But thoughts can obsess you. And then, when their mind is full of these thinking and so forth, it begins to affect their emotions. They begin to emote in a strange way, in a way that normal people won't do, the way they lose their temper, the kind of hatred that would inhabit them. I've seen with my eyes, brothers, and some of these our dear brothers and sisters to me, knew them from back in Eldon days, and even some co-workers and leading ones. At a moment of vulnerability, the mind is open, and nothing positive is occupying it. The enemy takes the advantage and come in. I'm not speaking these things, brothers and sisters, to scare you or anything like that, But I want all of us to be very, very cognizant that the spiritual warfare is real. And hence, we need to pray to fight, to bind, to loose. And so Brother Lee here would continue. It is actually not Brother Lee, sorry, Brother Nee. He said, we have to what? We have to subdue the activities, these kind of activities of the evil spirits by means of prayer. In our meeting, prayer, or conversation, we must first pray, Lord, chase away all the evil spirits and do not allow them to do anything here. I remember Brother Lee, when he was with us, often prayed this, Lord, cast out the enemy. Put him to the corner. Strongly, he prayed this way, because he sees the warfare. We have to do the same. Do not, it is a fact that that all the evil spirits are under the feet of the church. We have to realize that. All things are subjected under the feet of the church. If the church exercises authority to pray, it will indeed see the evil spirits being subjected under its feet. The kind of prayer with authority is unlike ordinary begging. It is a command that is based on authority. A prayer with authority is a commanding prayer. It proclaims, Lord, I will. Lord, I will not. Lord, I want this. Lord, I do that. Do not want this. Lord, I am determined to have this, and I will not allow that to happen. Or Lord, I only want your will to be done. I do not want anything else. When we exercise authority this way, we will feel that our prayer has hit the target. If more people, more saints would rise up to pray this way, many problems in the church will easily be solved. How many saints pray in this kind of a way? Usually we are dull. We are not sensitive to the warfare. We don't even know a warfare exists. And so the church is just problem after problem, year after year. And that church is just rendered, is paralyzed. We should exercise dominion through prayer and manage everything in the church through prayer. The leading brothers, you have to pray the prayer of authority. Lord, we don't agree with this happening in our church. We don't agree with that brother under the spell of the enemy. We don't agree with these kind of activities. The brothers, as the overseers, we need to pray in this kind of a strong way. And even in our own lives, brothers, some of us are plagued by this and entangled by that for far too long. Begging and asking and pleading does not work. We need to exercise the Spirit. We need to take Christ for sure. But we need to pray the prayer of authority from the ascended position, to deal with the enemy by commanding. And I, like brothers and sisters, these days, the churches will learn to rise up to pray at this level. At this level. It says two or three can bind and loose. Even two or three. So I would like to say a few things even to help us to protect our minds in these pandemic days. Number one, don't let your mind be vacant. A vacant place is a place that the enemy will take advantage of to fill. Let your mind be occupied with various positive things, legitimate things. Even let your mind be filled with the Word of God, the truth. To be, have nothing to do, to be vacant, is an invitation to an evil spirit. So in the pandemic days, we have more time at home and so forth. Don't live a normal life. Live a productive life. Live a life that is occupied properly. Live according to some kind of schedule. Do some projects. Budget your time. Have a schedule. Spiritually and humanly. Then, secondly, I would say, brothers, we need to be watchful, constantly on the watch. That's why watch and pray. Watch and pray are twin brothers. The way to watch is to pray. And praying is the way for us to watch. Don't have one or the other. Lest we fall asleep spiritually and psychologically. And brothers and sisters, exercise your body. In these days, it's easy just to sit there and eat. No, exercise your body. Exercise your spirit, of course. And exercise your mind in a proper kind of a way. Eat properly. Have a proper diet. Exercise. Do exercise. All this affects our tripartite being. And as far as our mind is concerned, be on guard. Do not take in too many things from the internet, too many news, too many whatever, breaking news, too many editorials, too many this and that. It will bring fear in you. It will threaten you. It will cause you to panic. It will do all kinds of things. Just to know this much is enough. You don't need to know more. Spend the time on the positive things. And number three, stay connected with the saints. Zoom fatigue or not, brothers, stay connected. And for us is to connect with other members, and by that, staying in the body. This whole armor belongs to the body. The body is our protection. If you're all alone, isolated in your house for too long, your mind even will start to play tricks on you. And you will get into a rut, into thinking something that you couldn't get out. But when you're with the saints, the light is there. You got exposed, you get balance. Am I right? You got protected. So don't isolate yourself. If big Zoom meetings are hard, have more one-on-one, two or three, to pray together, to fellowship together, to incite one another to good works. Brothers, and cast your anxiety on the Lord. Make known whatever your desires are, right? And what? And the peace of God or the peace of Christ will guard your mind, your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Brothers, you can see prayer guards our thoughts and minds. And the way, therefore, that we stay alert, watchful, and guarded against all the secret activities of the evil spirits is by prayer. So I end with this. 30 years ago in that big rebellion, eventually Brother Lee told us, he said, this rebellion is special because the source is not human beings. The source are the demons and the evil spirits. He said that. Because what is happening to some of the saints are utterly unreasonable, irrational. It has to be some other source, from some other place. Where? From darkness. But brothers, we have the victory in Christ. Don't be scared. We are one with the Lord, and we are his members. And we're covered by him, the Lord, as our whole armor. And we have the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the word of God. So it says, stand therefore. The way today our fight is just stand. Take a firm stand in our position of victory to defeat all the evil stratagems of Satan and the evil spirits and the demons. I hope I'm a little bit over time again, brothers. This word may be a little bit strong, but I think, brothers, many of us should be ready to receive this kind of word. There must be, brothers and sisters. Let us rise up together to pray the prayer of authority. I stop here. Amen.